Alright, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vedati. Thank you so much for joining us. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the wonderful state of Wyoming. How's it going, man?
I am excellent, and I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And we're the Freedom Fiends. Yes.
Yes. I sort of had a oxymoron there when I said wonderful state. What I meant to say was
region.
The beautiful geographical location of the Mountain West, specifically Casper.
And I'd like to hear from the man from the great state of Wyoming.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are gentlemen from Wyoming.
In Congress, they all say that they're from great states because they're all statists and they just are congratulating. Yeah. Oh, we're all from a wonderful state.
Yes.
And
they wear buttons that say state speech is great speech.
That's funny because the fiends have buttons that say state speech is hate speech because whenever a government official is talking, they are literally pointing a gun to your head because if you don't do what they say, these words of wisdom, dumb, that come out of their mouth, they will arrest you. And they will, if you resist, they will point a gun to your head. Their trench men will. And if you resist that, they'll kill you or take you to a cage. So whatever a politician is speaking, your life is in danger. Any politician.
Yes. And more they like to use their overwhelming force. I mean, that's the whole point of the Bearcats. That's the whole point of the militarization of police and them hiding their faces like, I don't even want to go there, but wearing black and having giant assault rifles and sniper rifles pointed at your house.
To take your little pea shooter guns away. So,
yeah.
Before we get too much into that about the unfree market of government that points guns at your head and takes your money and tells you what to do, I want to do something that's very free market and very market. We just call the free market the market here on the Freedom Fiends.
Usually, yeah. Mostly.
We'll explain that. But we want to welcome a new syndicator of the Freedom Fiends, KSZL in Barstow, California.
Barstow.
Yay! All right. I like KSZL. I've been talking a lot with them. They're good people.
Is it K-Sizzle? Is that what they call it?
Sizzle.
Yo, it's the K-Sizzle.
No, it's KSZL. And, we're on there, and I like Barstow, and I love that we're on the radio there. I've been there a bunch of times. I used to live in Los Angeles, and pretty much when you go east from Los Angeles, you go through Barstow. It's halfway between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. The municipal motto there is Crossroads of Opportunity, and there's a lot of it. And the thing I like about it, too, is not just that the good people of Barstow will be listening. And I'm not being collectivist by saying the good people, and I'm not kissing butt. Because
you're saying there are probably good people there, and you're thanking them, because if they're good, they're most likely listening to
the Freedom Fiends. Still listening right now, they're good people. That's what I'm saying. Anywhere.
Right.
Anywhere.
We tried to sift out the not good people.
Well, there's not good people everywhere, and there's good people everywhere. So the people from the great town of Barstow, the great people of the town of Barstow are still listening, hopefully. And the cool thing is it's not just the town that's listening. There's a highway that goes through there that I've been on a lot, and it's like there's nothing until you get to Barstow, and then there's something, and it's good. But when you're going through there, there's about a 100-mile stretch that KSZL reaches to that I've been there and listen on the radio, and I'm like, man, wish there was some freedom fiends here. And now there is some freedom fiends there. So you can, when you're driving from there through on I-15, you can listen to the Freedom Fiends now, and you can think about what might be when Libhair or Libertarian Paradise takes over the world.
There you go. Yeah, if you're headed east on your way to Denver, where you shouldn't make a smell because it is illegal, or could be illegal to make a smell.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I read about that on Facebook, which is in the game Grand Theft Automobile, as you call
it.
Automobile. Yeah, that game. Facebook is called Life Invader. I love that. It is a Life Invader, and I'm not really on it. I don't have an account on there, but I read stuff. People send me stuff, and I click on it.
Yes. But yeah, in Denver, according to FoxNews.com politics, Denver proposal would make smell of marijuana illegal.
That's square, man.
Yeah, that's pretty square.
I mean, if there's a smell, can't you just go to your neighbors and say, hey, there's a smell. cut it out. And they'll say, hey, man.
It's kind of odd to outlaw smells, isn't it? I mean, could you outlaw body odor? Well, could you outlaw Axe body spray?
There's a Ron White rant about where he grew up in Houston that there's a paper mill that he says emits a foul smell. And he said, you can smell it 15 miles in any direction. He said, the smell from this power plant, there is a potential, like on a given day, depending on how the wind is blowing, up to 3 million people can smell this paper plant and it smells horrible. And he says, 3 million people. If that was a sound, they'd make them turn it down. 3 million people could hear the noise you're making. Yeah. They'd make you turn it down.
I grew up a large chunk of my childhood in Pasadena, Baytown, that whole ship channel region, and I do remember the smells. I remember the oil refinery and chemical plant smells. And the idea that and here's what I really upsets me about the whole Denver, Colorado situation is the people spoke. They said it's ridiculous to have prohibition of marijuana, but every little town council and things like that, they're all trying to go back and tack all sorts of restrictions and regulations and silly new laws on it. They just can't accept the fact that freedom works. They can't let it sit. They have to. It bugs them. The idea of people enjoying themselves is like an itch, and they must scratch it with their tyrannical, what do you call them? Lee nails, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty common with anything where it's a partisan issue where it shouldn't be. I mean, really, the only struggle is like tyrants against the people, you know, and all politicians who are fighting over, well, we have to do this and take away that. They're just, it's them against the people. It's not Republican against Democrat. But whenever there's something like that, and it gets passed, and it's a big issue, and there's people gnashing their teeth, it often leads to more laws pulling back in the other direction. Like when concealed carry permits are legalized in a certain state, and the gun-hating liberals are upset about it, after it's done, they'll go through and tweak it and throw on all of these little tiny, well, not always tiny, but these other layers of laws to where, like, things will happen that weren't a problem before. Like, I forget what state it was. It might have been Nevada, where they passed some law that allowed something that wasn't something before that was now something. And the result,
that's all it is. Yeah.
The result was that, before the law, concealed carrying without a permit anywhere was a misdemeanor. But after they legalized permitted concealed carry, even with a permit, with or without a permit, of a firearm in a store that sells liquor, like even a grocery store, was a felony.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's mind-blowing that you can have your life ruined for carrying a tool of self-defense. What right does anybody have to ruin somebody's life over something as mundane? At least it should be a very mundane thing, like carrying your wallet. Like when I leave the house, check wallet, keys, cell phone, GAT, you know? That should be a routine thing, and that's just ridiculous. And here's the other thing about the Denver thing is what it's really trying to attack is marijuana use in public places, right? That's the motive for it, at least the justification for it, is city parks, downtown, mountain parks, the Red Rocks Amphitheater, where they always have the big celebration, the pot celebrations, the 420 celebrations, all of those places. And the thing is, yeah, you could have an argument, well, I have a right to be in public and not smell marijuana. You know, people come at the argument like that. But why should there be a public place? I mean, if everything was privately owned, private property, then you wouldn't have to worry about politicians deciding what could be used in a certain area. It would be black and white. The private property owner doesn't like pot here. The private property owner does like pot here. And you could choose whether or not to patronize that area depending on your preferences.
And, you know, something I just thought about this proposed law that's even more ridiculous is there's no victim in the enforcement of this. I mean, there are people that could be really upset by the smell of pot, but in a public place, by the time you go and get a cop, the person How and the smell are going right. to be gone. So the only people ever enforcing this are going to be cops. There's rarely going to be a situation where someone actually feels victimized by it and they go get a cop. It's just going to be cops. Like, and they're going to be doing it to people where there's no one else around smelling it, you know?
Right. I wonder if they're going to spend a whole bunch of taxpayer money on some kind of research and development for smell cameras.
Smell locating, smell triangulation. Yeah. Like, they'll put sniffers up on the poles in the commons and be able to triangulate it and then use cameras to see who was doing it, and they'll get a ticket in the mail for the smell they made a month ago.
And if and of course then it'll just be the nose under the camel's tent, and they'll export that technology to every place in the state, not the state of Colorado, but the state itself, and you will have it in states that don't have legal pot, and they will use it to tell the DEA to go after this guy or that guy or that girl.
I mean, I come back to what that Wyoming politician Cale Case said, who, as politician gets to go, is a pretty good guy. He was kind of the Ron Paul. He is kind of the Ron Paul of Wyoming. He's one of the state reps here. And, you know, we don't like politicians, but we like it when they say things that are cute that we like. We don't like it when they tax us.
We like some things that they say sometimes, some of them.
Yeah, Cale Case said something like, "I don't like patchouli or Kenny G music, but I support the right of people to like that garbage, and I support the right of business owners to allow it. Government shouldn't pass any laws preventing anything that anybody can avoid by turning around and walking out."
Turning around and walking away. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, because otherwise you are forcing the business owner into complying with something that was decided by a city council or a group of supervisors in the case of San Francisco. And then there's no voluntarism involved. It's just it's people making edicts and using the force, the blunt force trauma of the nightstick to make it happen.
The blunt force trauma of the pen, of the government pen, which is more mightier than the assault rifle that all the police are carrying now.
Well, it's mighty because of the assault rifle that the police carry around.
Yeah.
That's where it derives its
might from. Bad, man. It's mighty bad. Yeah, I used to live in San Francisco, and everything that used to be cool about that place, they're just making worse and worse and worse. Getting rid of.
Yeah, well, I was happy about the fact that the chess players, they banned chess playing on the public street, and the chess players decided to play chess anyway. I haven't seen a follow-up since that, but Ben Stone was reporting that that was the case. That a lot of chess players got together and decided, man, it's just chess. We're going to play it. Let's see what the cops do. Are they going to come and pepper spray us for playing chess?
Did they?
I don't know. I guess we should look up the follow-up and see what happened. I'm curious now, and maybe we'll have an answer for you when we get back from the market on the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Uh-huh. It's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the W state. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. I'm multitasking. What am I doing? I am color correcting in Photoshop these pictures I took during the break out my window of two squirrels. I can't really say on the air what they're doing. They're making more squirrels. I took a picture of them.
Squirrels don't do that. Squirrels just happen.
Squirrels like just happen. Yeah. Like babies. I know. And speaking, you're with child. Your wife is with child. And
yes,
you guys were trying child. For a child, and my wife, who's got two adult kids, said, they're trying? What do you mean? Kids just happen.
Kids just happen. No, we tried and succeeded so far, at least. You know, it's on track to have a tiny human being come into our home at the beginning of December. So I'm definitely
a day that will
that.
Live in infamy. Isn't your due date
in infancy? Yes, December 7th. Yeah. A day that will live in infancy.
Yeah.
It's actually though our due date was changed. We just still maintain the joke, but the new due date is December 12th. So congratulate me and all that kind of stuff.
Woohoo!
I helped build that.
I built that. You didn't build that. Obama built that.
Oh, did he? No. I hope not. He had any part. I really hope not. Yes.
Yeah. That skunk. That guy's a snake and a skunk, and his feet stink, and he's a commie.
He's a liar. Yes, he is a complete liar, and he also hates transparency and journalism and whistleblowers. He's been called worse than Richard Nixon on that. And we will get to that. We've got a whole segment.
So I'm taking it that you're a Romney supporter, and you would have voted for Romney instead.
No,
why?
My standing philosophy is not to vote.
But you have to have one or the other, Nima. If you don't like Obama, you must love Romney, right?
No, because any vote in the modern United States is a vote for the government. It's a vote for the continuation of the
tyranny.
Government. So as a small to no government person, whichever you are, you know, we like both kinds of philosophy, small government and no government. Then you have to realize that you're it's a yes vote. That's all your vote is. If you're voting for Romney or Barack Obama, it's nothing but a yes vote. And I vote no by not voting.
But Nima, if you don't vote, you can't complain.
Oh, watch me.
Oh, look at the squirrel pictures, Nima, and our board op. I just sent you squirrel pictures.
Am I going to look at the squirrel pictures?
Yeah, they're really awesome. They're really beautiful. And squirrels don't just happen. And I have photographic proof here.
You know, I think India was starting a thing, or I don't know if it's been around for a while or if it's just a proposal, but I heard that in India they actually are adding or have a none of the above option on the ballot now. And that's kind of an interesting thing because
– hang on.
The thing with voting is a lot of times people will say, well, you know, the people who vote or don't vote, they're just apathetic. They don't care about society or what goes on or the law. But I abstain from voting because I do care and I feel like I am informed and I choose not to support the status quo. But something like that, a none of the above, where you could record and register your dissent or your lack of trust or your distaste for the status quo and current government, that'd be kind of an interesting thing. What do you think about a none of the above option on the ballot, Michael?
I don't know. I think there should be something where you just replace Congress with squirrels.
They'd probably know how to – they would have a deficit. They would have a surplus. They'd have an acorn surplus.
Because they store things. Yeah.
They plan ahead.
They don't steal from the future. They don't steal from the distant future to fund the not-so-distant future. They work harder now to have something in the future, in the not-too-distant future.
Yes. They have a deferral of gratification that is a very important trait for success when you realize that the world is based on scarcity. Congress doesn't seem to get that message because they have this fake illusion of a lack of scarcity via the Federal Reserve. They feel like they can just have all the resources at their disposal forever. And what you're seeing now is the dying gasps of that illusion on its deathbed. And they refuse to admit that the government is drowning itself in the bathtub because it can't get up. It's choking on its heroin throw up and they don't know what to do.
Charming. Yeah. Well, government is like a heroin addict because it will pawn everything that doesn't even belong to itself for just one more hit. And it doesn't want to reduce or eliminate that consumption of other people's goods and its own goods. Well, it doesn't have any of its own goods, but you know, it sold everything in its apartment and is going after everything in your apartment. And it doesn't want to give it up because there'll be a little bit of pain now. It doesn't want to get clean, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't because it doesn't know how to do anything else. It hasn't been taught. It needs help, and we're here to help it at the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back with more help in just a bit. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, it's Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in his windowed bunker. He just revealed his bunker's location with some pictures he sent to me, Michael. I saw some windows, and I saw squirrels outside of those windows, and those squirrels weren't being very family friendly.
But they were friendly and making a family.
What a conundrum.
I just posted them on the Freedom Fiends Facebook page if anyone wants to go see where squirrels come from. I think it's you have to be adult, but you know, we're just talking about biology and nature and God's green earth.
That's
and
right.
How it fills itself with you know, if squirrels didn't do this, there wouldn't be any squirrels, and if there weren't any squirrels, there'd probably be a whole lot of pesky I don't know.
Well,
oats? What are squirrels? Nuts? All the nuts would attack you.
For the sake of our audience, we must remind them that those squirrels are in wedlock, so it's okay.
Yeah. What did our board op say? I heard the voice of God there, sort of. What was that?
I said pesky maple trees or oak trees or something.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's your once a month you get to come in and be the voice of God there, Shane.
Yes. Choose it wisely.
The audience can't hear me. So.
So we're just talking to ourselves here?
They
can't hear you? Boy, that's really helping us make good radio. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Yes, you can collect your last check on the way out the door there. I'm kidding. All right, so anyway.
Shenanigans, we call that.
Nima, you got something serious to talk about here other than squirrels and the Freedom Fiends talking to themselves on the radio. What do you got here? It's serious.
Yes. One of the subjects we keep going back to is Barack Obama and his administration's war on journalism. And they don't call it that explicitly because they're the government and they pretend like they're here to help you.
No, they call it the free speech bill or something.
They call it the most transparent parent administration ever, which is Orwellian speak for throwing people in jail for posting links and trying to do reporting and independent journalism. And our example today that we've talked about a little bit here and there and other people have talked about is Barrett Brown.
Is that a rapper? That sounds like a rapper.
No. No, but maybe he does that on the side. I don't know. I should look up some YouTubes of him. He's got lots of YouTubes, and he doesn't really rap. But he does say naughty, mean things towards FBI agents, which is kind of a rap thing. So
yeah.
I don't know. Somebody should auto-tune it and put it to a beat. But it's no laughing matter that he's in a cage, though.
In Texas.
This guy In Texas.
In the great state of Texas where you are.
Right.
Your great state.
And Barrett Brown, he's actually written things for The Guardian, HuffPo, Business Week.
Vanity Fair.
He wrote things that got published in what could be described as mainstream outlets. I mean, The Guardian, come on. And he's also affiliated with Anonymous as a spokesperson. So he – I'm not sure if he denied, but he said, you know, I'm not really the hacker in Anonymous, but I will speak about what they are doing, you know, as a spokesperson. But that did not
– Spoke squirrel.
Did not enamor him with the feds, who don't really like it when people try to interfere with their monopoly of force. And one of the things that Brown is accused of is putting a link up. It was a zip file to some leaked emails that Anonymous had hacked from Stratfor.
And Stratfor had hacked – it was like government subcontractor Stratfor hacking a bunch of people, like getting all their information. And then he posted – the hack of the government hack of the information. And for anybody who thinks they're, you know, but this is a matter of national security. No, this is the government spying on you, basically. You know, this was,
Well, plus it's a link. It's posting a link. I mean,
it's giving you directions. That's not hacking. Yeah.
That's not seeking information. It's posting a link that somebody gave you.
You know,
posted it on his IRC chat too. It wasn't like he put it up on a blog or
in the Guardian.
Anything like that. It was on an IRC, you know, an internet relay chat. So you had to have wanted to go to that chat page to find it.
He basically, and those aren't even permanent. Like that's basically, he wrote it on the chalkboard in the clubhouse, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and they threw him in prison for it. You know, the first time I ever heard of, in my lifetime, of people I knew getting in trouble for something like that, it was, I was in San Diego touring with my film, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And I've always taken the attitude of, I'll play anywhere and I don't care about your politics. If you'll have me, I'll come tell you why you're wrong. I was showing it at the Shea Cafe, and that's Shea, C-H-E, like the commie, horrible commie, violent guy who all the youngsters and hipsters wear this picture on their chest and don't realize that he killed musicians and he killed homosexuals and he would have killed most of the people wearing those shirts if he'd had the power to.
It is a hip image, though.
Yeah, it is hip image. And, yeah, but I was showing this movie at the Shea Cafe, and like they told me that the day before I was there, it's a student run commie coffee shop on the campus, and they told me that the day
would you only pay what you had? did they not have a price list for their coffee?
I don't know. If it was communism, don't they point a gun at your head and make you pay the same thing as everyone else?
Maybe.
Or distribute the wealth to everyone else at gunpoint, like Shea would do. Yeah, yes. So they had been visited the week before by – this was pre-9/11, so it wasn't DHS. I think it was the FBI, some government agency, three-letter alphabet soup agency. And they'd been threatened, all of them, like the board of directors, the communist city council of this cafe had been told that they were going to go to prison if they didn't take this web link off their site. And it was a web link to some South American organization. I can't remember the name of them, but it was one of those, like, you know, one week they were freedom fighters because the United States was backing them. And the next week they had a coup and the United States decided they were terrorists, you know, and like it was someone the U.S. government had backed, but then decided were terrorists.
We've always been at war with East Asia.
And they tried to charge these kids with a crime I've never heard of, which is providing computer infrastructure to the enemy. Like, putting a link on a website is not providing infrastructure.
No.
Providing infrastructure is, you know, bringing rooms full of computers and people to operate them and cables and things like that and satellites.
Although it may help their Alexa ranking, so maybe that was what they got them on.
I don't think Alexa existed.
If you're helping the web stats of a terrorist organization's website, then that's
illegal. In the year 2000. Yeah. So that was the first, like, that was the closest I've ever had to someone getting gooned for free speech. But Barrett Brown got thrown in a cage for a whole bunch of charges I've never even heard of. Why don't you enumerate these charges? Read the charges, counselor.
We didn't even know that some of these were charges, but his first indictment, October 1st, 2012, three counts. Count one, internet threats. Count 2, conspiracy to make publicly available restricted personal information of an employee of the United States. Oh, no, not an employee of the United States. And Count 3, this was the interesting one to us, retaliation against a federal law enforcement officer. Now, pause. That word, retaliation, doesn't that mean basically some type of self-defense? I mean, it means somebody did something to you first. You know, they threw the first punch. Yeah. Retaliation. That's inherent. That's pregnant in the word itself.
Pregnant. Marinate on that. Yeah, man. And they make up this stuff. I wonder if they could just get away with making up this stuff. You said that when I told you about our friend Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live is facing civil conspiracy charges in Keene, New Hampshire for going around with some buddies and putting nickels in parking meters ahead of the parking enforcement agents or meter maids. And the city decided that that was a crime. Like, you know, giving money away to help people is a crime, and charged him with a civil conspiracy. And like, I was like, I didn't even know that existed. What is a, it's not a criminal conspiracy. It's a civil conspiracy. What did you say about that?
I was like, maybe it doesn't exist. And they just maybe they're just making that up.
Hoping no one will notice.
I mean, who knows, right? It feels like there's no rule of law anymore, because even though they point to these things, a lot of times the wording is so vague. I mean, civil conspiracy. What does that mean? What makes it civil? How is it a conspiracy?
I don't know what that is.
With something as broad and vague as conspiracy, which basically just means discussing something with somebody else. They can get you on anything.
And we have to play our disclaimer here to protect ourselves, or at least to point out preemptively if anything like this ever happens to us.
Hello, I'm Michael Dean.
And I'm Nima Vedati. We'd like to say this on record. If either of us are ever facing any felony charges, the thing was planted or the evidence otherwise manufactured.
And if either of us is ever found dead of a drug overdose, a car crash, or an apparent suicide, there was probably a government agency behind it.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.
Yeah, that's from the end of our movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can go to gunsandweed.com and watch for free or buy the DVD of. Right. And we wanted to get that on record because we're good guys. We don't do anything wrong. I mean, we literally try to not break any laws, although they say there's a book called Three Felonies a Day that says that everyone commits three felonies a day without knowing it, from things as simple as like buying meat at the store.
Yeah, or buying the wrong kind of milk.
Yeah.
You don't have government-approved milk, people. What's your problem? But Barrett Brown, so he's got like 105 years he's facing if you add up all of these charges, which DMLP.org, Digital Media Law Project.org.
Great site.
Added
great
them
site.
All up. So,
great
yeah.
site. I want to recommend it. I didn't know about the site till this week. It's basically a clearinghouse run by – it's either attorneys or paralegals or law students. They know their stuff about law, and it's all about infractions against the people for free speech. And it's a really good site. Give out the web address again there, Nima.
Yes, it's DM – hold on. Let me pull it up here. Yes, DMLP.org. So
digital – what's it stand for?
Digital Media Law Project.
.org.
.org.
So go on with your bad Barrett self.
Yes.
Your Barrett 50 cal talk here.
Here's the interesting thing. So ostensibly this all started with this whole Strat 4 link that Barrett Brown posted. At least that was what the feds are pointing to now. In an interview with Democracy Now, I'm reading straight from DMLP's blog post here. In an interview with Democracy Now, Northwestern University philosophy professor Peter Ludlow noted the perverseness of punishing the disclosure of this hack more than the hack itself. Ludlow argued, quote, considering that the person who carried out the actual Strat 4 hack had several priors and is facing a maximum of only 10 years, the inescapable conclusion is that the problem is not with the hack itself, but with Brown's journalism. So yeah, that's the thing. The person who actually hacked the information can only go to jail for 10 years, according to the charges he's facing. The person who posted the link up on his IRC chat is facing 105 years. So do you see what the feds are thinking is the problem here? They're thinking the problem is disclosure of information that's embarrassing to them. And that is Obama's war on journalism in a nutshell, in a microcosm. And we'll have more when we return from the market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
not your dad's talk radio.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, it's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Thank you for sticking with us for hour one. We're now at the bottom of hour one. We've got our segment here, and then we'll have hour two. So stick with us, Michael. And you wanted to comment about Dick Nixon, is that right?
Yeah, he was the president.
He's a Futurama character, right?
That's why you know him, because you're a youngster. Yeah, when I was a kid, there was this president named Richard Nixon, and some of our listeners may remember the majesty of Richard Nixon. Nah, yeah. Richard Nixon taught me to distrust the government, because one of my earliest memories is the Vietnam War and, like, people I knew and people I knew who knew getting shot at on TV. And no one knew why they were over there, but they were all getting killed, and they were forced like slaves to go over there. And then, like, one of my second earliest memories is Richard Nixon saying, "I am not a crook," and resigning. And I said, "Mommy, but isn't the president supposed to be the most bestest, smartest, best, honest man in the world?" And she's like, "Well, it's complicated."
Yes, change your relationship status with the leader of the free world. Yeah. It's complicated.
She'd voted for him. Yeah. Yeah, and they didn't have Facebook back then, so you couldn't just change your status to "it's complicated with the leader of the free world."
Yes, with although that's kind of a misnomer.
With the liar of the free world. I'm the leader of the free world, because I'm the leader of my free world. So
there you go.
So, Richard Nixon had an enemies list, and he was famous for having an enemies list with people like Martin Luther King and John Lennon on it. And it's kind of weird, because I think now, like, presidents, their enemies list is everyone that's not in their cabinet.
Yeah, they don't have a list with a bunch of check marks on it. They just have all of the above checked.
I mean, when you think about it, okay, Richard Nixon was a horrible guy, but the thing that he was disgraced for, and it was like a national trauma that he did this, you know, that he disgraced the presidency by spying on some Democrats and wiretapping them. And it's like, all the presidents now, like Bush and Obama, like, they do that as part of their daily job description to everybody. You know, they do
even the presidents. You don't even have to be president to do that anymore.
You can be a cop.
You can be a lower level analyst at the NSA.
You can be a local sheriff and, you know, call up your local fusion center and get them to do it without a warrant.
Right.
If you say that guy had a Ron Paul bumper sticker, he must be part of the enemy. We need to spy on him. They'll do it for him. They'll do it in a second.
And this power, it's corrupting. It's what keeps your local cops from being the peace officers they're supposed to be. Now, I have no fantasies about a monopoly security force ever being something other than an enforcement for the edicts of the state, you know, an imperial stormtrooper. But this just exacerbates it and makes it 10 times worse, well, the fact that they can get data from the NSA through the DEA of them spying on you and basically – you know, a fishing expedition on everybody all the time.
And every law enforcement agency from local police to, you know, DHS to DEA to everyone in between regularly kicks in doors of people who've not done anything violent to anybody and points guns at their head in the middle of the night. And there was a recent case of an 80-year-old man who, you know, they were serving a pot warrant on this 80-year-old man. They kicked in his door in the middle of the night. He thought it was burglars and reached for his gun and had his hand on his gun, and they murdered him. They murdered him in his sleep and then took his terrified wife out in handcuffs and ransacked the house. And that's not being a peace officer. And here's what I'll say about the escalation of government force against the people of, you know, the Cold War ended and there are all these people that wanted to be at war with somebody. So they just, they turned it on paper. They turned it to the Middle East, but it really just spilled over to America. They turned it onto everyone in America. And here's what I'll say in my lifetime, what I've noticed about it. When I was young, I'm 49 years old. When I was young, honest people didn't get worried when they saw a police car in the rearview mirror. Honest people now have reason to and do get worried when they see a police car in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. And if nothing else, even if it's not coming from any kind of philosophical thing or, oh, those dirty cops, they're so corrupt. Even just the fact that the cop, when you see him in your rearview mirror, what do you think? You think, oh, he's going to pull me over. Oh, I don't know if I can afford the $250 to pay the ticket this week. Oh, I was supposed to buy this. I was supposed to buy a uniform for my daughter's gymnastic class, and now I can't, or whatever the case is.
And honest people get that kind of fear in their heart when they see a police in the rearview mirror when they're not speeding and when they know that their car is registered correctly and up to date.
Right.
Because they know that cops sometimes do horrible things to people who haven't done anything wrong. And that happens in our America. And we'll be back with more in Hour 2 on The Freedom Fiends, debunking the America of the mind and telling the truth of what things are like out there. Yes. And laughing at it, too. We're not all, it's horrible. We poke fun at it, man. Obama's feet stink.
Yeah. Well, that's what the emperor hates more than anything, is to be ridiculed and laughed at. He wants you to cower in your boots.
He's naked.
And make threats towards him because he knows he can win against brute force. He can brute force you worse than you can
him. He can charge you with not liking it or something. Yeah. That's a crime.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Thank you for joining us in Hour 2. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. How's it going, man?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And it's going all the way from Massachusetts, we're being listened to there, and then all the way in our new affiliate, KSZL, in Barstow, California. We didn't make it quite to that coast yet, but we will.
The sizzle, that's what I'm going to call it.
Okay, that's an affectionate.
It's probably hot there. Yeah, the sizzle.
It is, and they sizzle, because now they have Freedom Fiends and a bunch of cool GCN programming, including Free Talk Live and Alex Jones.
Yeah. Excellent.
So you got a phone number to give out there if people
want
to call
in? I do. Yeah, yeah. If you happen to want to call, especially if you're a new listener out there in Barstow or anywhere within the listening range of K-Sizzle, go ahead and give us a call at 1-855-660-4261. Again, that's 1-855-660-4261.
Yeah, and you were talking about some tyranny before we went to the market. What was the tyranny you were talking about there, Nima Vidati?
We were talking about the fact that Barrett Brown, an independent journalist who's written for places like The Guardian and Huffington Post.
Vanity Fair.
Yes, mostly on issues of the feds and their contractors spying on people, the police state, the digital police state, all those kinds of issues, basically publishing things that are embarrassing to the federal government and the powers that be. And they threw him in prison. Well, first, they raided his mom's house. They stole computers from her house. They threw her in a cage for obstruction of justice. And then when he got angry on YouTube at them, they picked him up, threw him in a cage where he's been for 400-something days now.
Obstruction of justice is such an amorphous term. A lot of times now, cops – I mean, there's video on YouTube of cops like coming up to people they don't like, knocking them to the ground and then arresting them for either resisting arrest or obstructing justice. And sometimes the original thing that they were allegedly going after them for doesn't stick, or they don't even charge them with it. And all they charge them for is obstructing justice. And they could charge people for that. Maybe not get away with it every time, but they can sometimes. They can charge people for obstructing justice. You know, if the cops come to your door and say, we want to come in and search, and you say, do you have a warrant? And they're like, no, you have to let us in. And you say, no, I want to call my attorney. They've charged people with an obstruction of justice for that, for basically expressing their constitutional right. Mm-hmm. The law of the land that Trump's supposed to trump everything, used to trump, maybe one day for maybe for the first couple of weeks, the ink was drying on the Constitution.
Yeah. And I don't know, if you put on your minarchist cap for a little bit, your minish cap, and said, hey, wouldn't then they have to prove that there was justice before they could try to say you were obstructing it? I mean, I feel like they would have to prove that justice was being served in the first place. So if they're charging you with nothing but obstruction of justice, then it's really nothing more than what Will Grigg would call contempt of cop, i.e. not getting down on your hands and knees immediately when the Ubermenschen police officers are in your presence.
Yeah. That's square, man.
It's like how at first they were only charging Adam Kokesh with resisting arrest. Well, why were you arresting me if you're not charging me with anything that you would be arresting me for? So how can the only charge be resisting arrest?
Adam Kokesh is a POW. He's a prisoner of war.
Yes.
And that's not to diminish anybody, you know, like John McCain, who was in a bamboo cage and being tortured.
We should totally diminish John McCain for various reasons.
But I don't want to diminish anyone who was an actual prisoner of war, especially if they were drafted and taken like slaves over to somewhere and had to shoot to keep from getting shot and then got caught and got locked up.
And tortured.
I don't want to diminish that in any way, but I want to expand that and say that, yeah, Adam Kokesh is a POW. He's a political prisoner. Adam Kokesh is a guy who, you know, didn't do anything violent. He basically drove into D.C. from Virginia early in the morning, set up a tripod, had a friend run a camera, and held a shotgun and put three shells in it, made a little speech, then put the shotgun back in his car and drove back to Virginia. I mean, not only didn't he didn't threaten anybody, like nobody even saw it, man, except the video he made.
Yeah,
the cameraman. So there was no victim, if holding a gun is even a crime, and I don't think it is. And he's a political prisoner. He's a prisoner of war, of the war on guns. And in the 60s, the radicals who were blowing stuff up did like to use the term prisoner of war for people who'd get arrested for blowing stuff up. And I don't agree with that. I think those people were blowing stuff up and they were bad people because of it. And now they're doing things, you know, like William Ayers is a professor. And that's what being a radical who wanted to blow up the establishment in the 60s gets you now, is you get to be a professor. But I mean, Adam wasn't even threatening anybody, and he would never blow anything up. And he's facing some real serious prison time there. So I want to use that word prisoner of war on him.
Well, I think one of the lessons you can take from that and from the Barrett Brown thing is do your journalism, do your free speech, call the feds out on their ridiculousness, ridicule them, promote the ideas and the principles of freedom and liberty, but do it without doing something that can be taken in any way as a threat. You know, have your nose be as clean as possible. Be the friendly, nice person. Be Mr. Rogers, right?
Bear Brown got sucked in by the hate that they were putting on him in the – he's a prisoner of war in the war on journalists and the war on free speech. But he did make a mistake. He did make sort of a tacit threat. What did he say on
Well, YouTube? This was after his mom's house was raided. And you can imagine the kind of anger and frustration that you would have if somebody did such a horrible thing and busted down your mom's door. And, you know, how horrible is that? So I can understand the anger. But, you know, we can't change the way we feel about things, but we can change how we react. And I think that's a very hard thing sometimes, but it's a very important and I would say necessary thing, especially if you're on the front lines of the info war. Now, Barrett Brown put out this YouTube video and he was very angry. He's very upset. You can tell he's frustrated. He's using a lot of naughty language, which fine, whatever. But one of the things he said, and this is what the feds point to as a justification, and it helps their case. You know, I can look at this and say, well, you know, he wasn't saying anything actual physically that he would hurt an FBI agent, but some person, you know, some juror who's 80 years old and doesn't understand the nature of hacking or the internet might take this at a different interpretation. And what Barrett Brown said, this is a quote from his YouTube video. He said, "That's why Robert Smith's life is over." Now pause. Robert Smith is one of the FBI agents. So Barrett Brown says, "That's why Robert Smith's life is over. When I say his life is over, I don't say I'm going to kill him, but I am going to ruin his life and look into his effing kids."
Yeah, the kids thing was the big mistake, although even before that, he said stuff that they could use against him, and they love it. They love all governments, and we're not just picking on the U.S. government. All governments and all government, you know, jackbooted people love the fact that they can do whatever they want to you. They can go bully your mother, and if you yell at them back, they can throw you in a cage for it because it's against the law. One of these charges is what?
Retaliation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like basically it's the law that they can bully your mother, like literally throw her in a cage. But if you make a comment about someone in their family, they can arrest you for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the law that you can't defend yourself. You must sit there and take it. That's basically what that law means.
It means get on your knees. On your knees, slave.
On your knees, you
dirty. Literally, I mean that's what cops say when they come up to you and point guns to your head. They say, "On your knees, you dirty hippie." Yeah.
Yeah. Just awful. But you know, if he would have never said this, I'm not saying that the feds wouldn't keep going after him because I don't think Aaron Swartz did any kind of threats or anything like this. And he still was facing decades and decades. I don't know if it was over 100 years, but he was facing decades and a lot of pressure from the feds to where he ended up ending his own life. You know, a lot of people would say that's because of how the feds were and the prosecutors were going after him. But I don't think he ever resorted to saying something like this, and they still went after him. But still, don't give your enemy something he can point to and win the hearts and minds of others. And that's kind of what this Barrett Brown statement is. And I think to a lesser extent, Adam Kokesh's cocking of a shotgun on Freedom Plaza, or was it Liberty Plaza? Some Orwellian named Washington,
halfway
DC
between
Plaza.
The Capitol and the White House.
Right, right. So yeah, I mean, I go back to Ben Stone's thing about how there's there can be underground resistance and above ground resistance, but don't mix. Know which one you are. Know whether or not you're some kind of hacktivist, anonymous member, and know whether or not you're some kind of journalist who's in the war of words. And if you're a journalist in the war of words, don't ever give them any ammunition they can use against you, like saying threats towards one of their jackbooted thugs, because that's what they care about more than anything, is keeping their enforcers of their edicts safe, sound, and feeling like they have an air of superiority.
and sleeping in their comfy beds with their nice salaries and perks and assault weapons and private schools for their kids.
And their
boxes of nothing, which we've talked about, and their big black SUVs with armor plating and their ability to arrest you for saying something to them when they are throwing your mother in a cage. I mean, really, the only way to survive and be this kind of activist that this guy was or the kind that we are is to be zen about it. And they will try to poke you and poke you. I kind of look at us like Gandhi with a gun. You know, I mean, I really think you have to be passively, you know, nonviolently resisting, just devote your life to getting up every morning and yelling at Goliath and, you know, and figuratively kicking his foot, but not literally. And, but still carry a gun, man, because there's bad people out there, not just government people. I'm talking about like burglars on the street, man. I will not disarm. I won't do it.
Yeah.
And they'll throw me in a cage for that, and they'll torture me, and they'll do all sorts of horrible things. I mean, I think that this show is going to be on the air for a long time, but I think eventually they're going to try to figure out some way to do something to us. And a lot of people would say, you're paranoid. How could you say that's paranoid, man? Look at what they do to people like Barrett Brown. Yeah. Look what they do to Julian Assange. And we're, you know, I'm not saying we're in those guys' categories at all. I mean, and then there's people that like have something they're holding back, you know, like Julian Assange and maybe Glenn Greenwald. You know, they have what they call safety files, like things encrypted with friends that, might be the reason they're not in a cage yet already. And some people would say that's blackmail, but the government blackmails people all the time.
Yeah. I don't think that's blackmail. I think it's self-defense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's blackmail of like holding lists of crimes, of proof of crimes that they've done.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
It's the Freedom Beans Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vadadi. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the interwebs from me. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Meow. It's going good. Going good.
Mine was a monkey.
Mine was a cat. So,
yeah.
Today is the 20th anniversary of the last show of my band, Drive By Crucifixion, my Christian rock band.
It's a great name for a band.
It is. It is. Yeah. So I was in this really cool band before that called Bomb, B-O-M-B, which would probably get you thrown in a cage now for having a band called that. And that band was great. Toured the world. Got signed to Warner Brothers. Broke up because I was a drug addict. And before I got clean, I started a band called Drive By Crucifixion. And
did you get clean because drugs are illegal?
No, I got clean because it wasn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I quit drinking, and drinking's legal. I don't drink. So I've been clean for almost 20 years. I got clean in July of 94. But in 93, I was still using it. I was still trying to make it, still trying to be in a rock band. I was in this band called Drive By Crucifixion, and it wasn't very good. And it was kind of a dark Christian rock band, and you know, my head was in a dark place, and I felt like I was forsaken, but I really just forsaken myself, you know. So I wanted to do a promo picture I had a friend that had a really, this is before I owned guns, before I was a gun guy, before I was competent enough mentally or, you know, just in my life to have a gun. I was doing drugs. I wasn't crazy. I was just doing drugs. And that makes you less of a person doing hard drugs, I think. Or, you know, I don't think it should be illegal, but it didn't help me. It didn't help my life. So, yeah. So I got clean. But I was in this band, and I had this friend that had a really realistic looking replica gun. And I said, let's use this in a promo picture. And you can, I told my guitar player he could hold it to my head in the promo picture. And for some odd reason, I thought that'd be cool. I think that'd be a horrible idea now. And I wouldn't even let someone point a replica gun at my head because I apply to replica guns the same rules of safety I'd apply to real guns, unless we're doing like, you know, disarmament training where you're trying to like not have your gun taken away or trying to take
you
one away.
You pointed a 357 Magnum revolver at an actor's head in our movie Guns and Weed Road to Freedom.
And it was unloaded and four different people checked it three times each to make sure it was unloaded. True. It was the weirdest.
For every shot, not just once before we started.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever done. Take. And it was just, you know, doing what actors do in movies all the time, just pointing a gun at somebody. I was playing a cop, you know, a bad cop, and I was screaming, "On your knees, you dirty hippie," while busting somebody for pot in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but before this, you know, I had this replica gun. I told my band about it. One day, John came over to my house for practice, and he went down to my basement where my homeless, temporarily between housing friend, Crazy Steve, and his girlfriend, Nikki, were staying in our practice space. And they were like, "Hey, John, get out of here. Quit setting up your equipment. We're still in our underwear. We're not awake. Come back in 10 minutes. And John just ignored him. Started setting up his stuff, and they had their back to him, and they were putting their clothes on. And John saw Crazy Steve's Glock 9, his actual gun, not a replica gun, sitting on the counter, thought it was the replica I was talking about, picked it up. He'd never held a gun in his life, didn't know anything about safety. Steve said, "No!" And John pulled the trigger and accidentally fired a shot, well, stupidly fired a shot into the cement floor. It ricocheted. Went through Crazy Steve's girlfriend, Nikki's butt and came out her leg.
Oh, man.
Called 911, 911-1111 in San Francisco. They rushed her to the hospital. She was out the same day. John was taken to the police station, was there about 16 hours. They finally let him go. They kept the gun. And, I'm sure they didn't turn it in. I'm sure it's in the sock drawer of some SFPD, probably. Yeah. And, yeah, and Nikki had a long and painful recovery and is now the bass player in the touring band of the EDM artist BT, if you know who that is. But
I do.
The moral of the story is not only do you have to be safe with your GAT, you have to be safe with other people with your GAT because idiots can pick up your GAT and shoot people.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess that's the first mistake I see is Steve. Why was Steve's gun just laying around? Why wasn't it holstered on his person?
I guess it was a kind of a situation of the difference between being homeless and having a home. Because when you have a home, you don't have strangers walking in to plug in their guitars in the morning. So
that's true.
I guess he should have been more secure.
But when I'm visiting or spending the night or crashing at somebody else's house, you know, I keep the gun on me. I take it off to sleep and put it under the bed next to me.
I forgot part of this story. The gun did not have a bullet in the chamber. John Lee, the guitar player, cocked it.
Oh, really?
Now, how could you pick up a Glock, which has weight, and cock it and think it's a toy? I don't know, man. But I guess because they're plastic and they kind of look like toys if you don't know anything about guns.
That's kind of mind-blowing, man. But we'll have more when we come back from our little trip to the market.
Gun safety.
These little feenies go to the market.
Gun safety with these little feenies.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Well, Welcome back. Hopefully that was a fulfilling trip to the market. Hopefully you got your reusable shopping bags full of lots of organic food or whatever floats your boat, 22 long rifle ammo, whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Nima Vidati. I forgot to say that. And the guy who just said, yeah, that's Michael W. Dean. Now, Michael was telling the story of his old bandmate who picked up a loaded Glock that he thought was a replica gun, pulled the slide back to chamber a round, and then fired it at the ground right as the gun's owner was yelling, no.
No.
I imagine the no was probably a little bit more enthusiastic of a no.
I'm picturing it in slow motion. I wasn't in the room. I was upstairs. I heard the gunshot, ran down, then ran back up and called 911. This is before cell phones and before wireless phones. I had to run two stories.
Right, and we talked about the culpability of Steve for leaving his pistol unattended.
He feels bad. He feels really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still friends with him. Yeah, he understands. He understands, and he'd never do it again. Crazy Steve. Yeah.
But also, who was it? Was it John Lee? Jay Lee? What was his name?
John Lee.
John Lee. Okay. John's parents should have taught him more about guns. Even if they weren't into guns, they should have gun-proofed John Lee when he was a baby.
Yeah, John Lee was he's a Chinese-American cat. His parents are from China. And John Lee was a martial arts instructor who had, like, quadruple black belts in everything. I don't even know what that means. But I know that he was, like, a big deal that people, you know, traveled to go work with in his dojo in San Francisco. Huh. And he was a weapons expert with martial arts weapons. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. Martial arts, karate actually developed because the emperor had outlawed weapons. And so it uses the hand.
At least.
Or swords.
Oh.
I mean, we're talking back in the day. Yeah. Had outlawed swords. So, you know, martial arts uses hands and common implements. Like nunchucks were originally for beating grain to separate the chaff from it. And the bow, which is a long stick, was basically a walking stick or farming implement. You know, so it used common everyday items as weapons. And he was an expert in martial arts weapons.
So martial arts weapons, right.
It's kind of weird. I would think that a person who wants to be an expert in weapons would be well-rounded and at least take some safety classes in every kind of weapon.
Right, including firearms. But yeah, if his parents had done what Masad Ayoub says, and even if they weren't into guns, taken him to the local NRA gun safety primer or to the Fish and Hogs Department, you know, your Fish and Wildlife for the hunter safety course, some basic class where he could have been able to recognize a real gun from a replica, he would have looked at that and said, oh, that's a Glock, right? I'm not going to pull the trigger on this. And he also would have learned one of the cardinal rules of gun safety, which is treat every gun as if it's loaded, i.e., don't point it inside of a house and pull the trigger. You know, also don't pull the trigger unless you're pointing it at something you are ready to destroy.
Don't even put your finger on the trigger. Keep it
off
the trigger.
Don't even put your finger on the trigger. Yeah.
So I want to talk about Democrats and how horrible they are. I mean, we're not fans of any politician, but it's kind of interesting because a lot of people now look at Democrats as the champion of the underclass and the champion of the minority, which is kind of interesting because they don't like gun owners and they want to reduce them to a minority and then eliminate and stamp them out rather than giving them or allowing them natural rights.
Yeah.
But the Democrats weren't always so hip, slick, and cool. In 1890, Henry Cabot Lodge, and I love that name of that senator because Cabot is a mythical creature that's a cross between a cat and a rabbit. Like a squitten is also a cross between a squirrel and a kitten.
So you're picturing inn or a lodge full of cabots.
Yes, yes. So Henry Cabot Lodge co-authored the Federal Elections Bill in 1890, along with, and I love this name, Senator George Frisbee Hoar, H-O-A-R. Yes, his middle name was Frisbee.
Your tongue, sir.
Frisbee, and his last name was Hoar. This bill guaranteed federal protection of African American voting rights. Although the proposed legislation was supported by President Benjamin Harrison, the bill was blocked by filibustering Democrats in the Senate. Wow. And what a lot of people don't remember is that the Ku Klux Klan were, to a man, Democrats. And the Republican who killed a bunch of Americans to free the slaves when they're on their way to being freed anyway was a Republican. He's actually the first Republican. You know,
well,
Go ahead.
Think about what Democrats call themselves. They call Democrats, i.e. fans of democracy, i.e. fans of the rule of the majority to trample the minority. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah, one of the founding fathers, I forget which one, you know, people always say, we must trump, democracy is great, and we must trump it because the founding fathers were great men, and I read that in a book in grade school. One of the founding fathers, I forget which one, said that democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for lunch.
Right, right. We all know how that works out. Unless they're vegan sheep or vegan wolves.
Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing to me that people have such a disconnect of rightfully pointing out and noticing that the government is horrible and oppressing all sorts of people all the time now. And they're trying to use government to fix it, and they don't realize you can't fix stupid. You can't fix a system that is made to steal from the people and enable the coffers of this giant blob-like amoeba virus called government. You can't fix it, man. It's rotten from the core, and democracy is just a way of getting people to agree on them being robbed.
Right. Oh, we've called it before the slave suggestion box.
It's just
a little box there for the slave to say, I would like a little bit lighter chains, maybe. How about we have actual bacon, you know, once a month instead of just chitlins? That's all it is. It's you don't get to make any change. You don't get to vote away your slavery. You don't get to say, hey, I vote to not be taxed. I mean, look at your paychecks, man. Look at your government bill. Think about how much the feds take out of your pocketbook on a monthly basis. And that's just the feds, man. My what I get taken out of my paycheck, that's my biggest expense other than my rent on a recurring basis. It's mind-boggling, and I don't want to pay. I don't pay voluntarily for any of the things that is funding. Most specifically,
bombing the children,
the war state. Yeah.
You know, I saw we talk about Oliver Stone sometimes as like one of the Hollywood people who he doesn't quite get it right, but he irritates other people in Hollywood by doing things like backing Ron Paul before he ultimately votes for Barack Obama, but then hates Obama. He said something on Bill Maher the other day. Bill Maher. Stone said something I've never heard anyone say outside of libertarian radio shows and podcasts. We've been saying this for a couple of years, but he actually said on TV that the U.S. didn't need to drop the bomb on Japan, and they only did it because they had it and had built it and wanted to test it out on some real people. That's a fact, and that's true, and Japan was surrendering. You know, it wasn't a unilateral absolute surrender, but it would have ended the war. And they were like, no, man. You know, Truman was like, no, my mother dressed me up like a little girl. I'm going to kill a bunch of people.
Wow.
Out of context, that sort of sounds like I'm just throwing shade. But
you have, okay, so give us the context then. Yeah.
A documentary on History Channel I was watching the other day that said that Truman, when he was a little kid, he was kind of a sissy boy and he got beat up, and his mother would say, it's okay, you were supposed to be a girl, and she sometimes dressed him as a girl.
Yeah. Well, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki thing, that's all been debunked by lots of people in really great ways. And yeah, the basics of it is if they did just want to test it. I mean, there's always more than one contributing factor to all of these government atrocities. And if they just wanted to test it, they could have done it on an uninhabited island.
They already tested it in the desert. But the thing is, I've never heard a Hollywood A-lister say that. Mm. And he is a Hollywood A lister, man. He's Oliver friggin' Stone. And, you know, that's a pretty unpopular position because most people, Democrats and Republicans, are like, yeah, man, dropping that bomb saved millions of lives and took 5 years off the war. No, it didn't. That's something that the president's press office probably wrote while they were sitting around comparing dress tips and makeup tips.
There you go. Yeah, you're totally right that it is brave of him, and hopefully he doesn't retract it. John Stewart called Harry Truman a war criminal because of it, and then went and apologized the next day. Even John Stossel, in his debate with, I think it was Boaz of the Cato or Reason, one of those, in his discussion, he was saying, well, yeah, I mean, World War II was justified. And I think it's because World War II, in a lot of ways, is the founding myth of the modern American war state empire. And maybe the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, if that's the founding myth, maybe that's the Big Bang. And so you can't say bad things about it.
I think that the U.S., you know, if you want to take a minarchist view, I think the U.S. could have ended the European war, you know, Hitler's war and all of that, by just instead of dropping bombs and sending troops in Operation Overlord, I think they could have just dropped millions of those little tiny pistols, the Liberator. Talk about the Liberator.
The Liberator, yeah. That's what the printable gun is named after. Cody Wilson's printable gun was named the Liberator. But they were also, were they single-shot pistols that were dropped into occupied France? With instructions on how to use them.
I've seen one. They have one in the Cody Gun Museum in Cody, Wyoming. Nothing to do with Cody Wilson of the printable gun by the same name, the Liberator. Yeah, they're really rare, especially to find one in the box with the little instruction paper and pictograph. Basically, it was a single shot 45 pistol that came with an instruction sheet in a box and a little like a waxed box to protect it from rain. And the idea was it came with 10 rounds of 45 ammo and a dowel to pull the expended shell out, brass out, because you couldn't just pop it out. They made them for about $2.50 each. And the idea was this was a gun to capture a better gun. What they said in the instruction manual was walk up to a Nazi and ask him for a light for your smoke while your buddy comes up behind him and shoots him under the helmet in the base of the brain, and then take his rifle, his uniform, the chocolate bar in his pockets, and then you got yourself a rifle and a sidearm and a Nazi uniform and whatever else you need to start your resistance, you know?
Now, you know what that makes me think, what you just said? If that was in the instructions, it must have been a common occurrence for enslaved or occupied Frenchmen to go ask the Nazis for a smoke. That means the Nazis were much friendlier than your average Stasi police statist in the United States.
There were varying degrees of it, in varying degrees at different times, in varying degrees different people were treated, probably depending on their social status as well as whether they were Jewish. You know, I mean, at first, the occupation was just a cop on every corner. It was just a soldier on every street corner, kind of like they have in New York City right now. And then it was shaking, you know, searching people. Then it was searching people and taking their money. Then it was searching people and beating them up if they didn't comply. And, you know, it just got worse and worse and worse. And there were different degrees of it at different places at different times. So, yeah, there were times when you could do that.
It was the aggression principle. And we know where that ends up. And we're going to end up soon. But stick with us through the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends, yeah. Live talk radio show. Thanks, everybody, so much for sticking with us. We're now at the bottom of hour two. That means we must bid you adieu. But not before. Yet.
Before we got to tell this, there's a
tweaking reviews.
There's a new Metapocalypse album, the Doom Star Requiem soundtrack, coming out on iTunes October 29th.
Yes.
We interviewed Brendan Small, the creator of Death Clock, last week, and we're supposed to be interviewing Hank 3 tomorrow. We were going to pre-record it last week, and Hank 3, Hank Williams III, flaked on the Fiends. So when you go see Hank 3, he's worth going to see, but when you go see him, shake his hand, tell him what you like, you know, how good he is, because he is, and then say, why did you not do that Freedom Fiends
well,
interview?
Maybe it was an excused absence. Maybe
I would have heard by
his
now.
Dog died.
His people would have told me. They said it was exhaustion, which who knows? Yeah, so we just got a picture from a listener, a guy named Ben in Ohio, sent us a picture of FDR in a dress as a little boy. So it wasn't just Truman. Apparently FDR's mommy dressed him up in a dress. I guess that's what makes you a liberal, you know. I'm not saying anything against guys that choose to wear dresses, but when their mommies dress them in dresses before they have a choice, I think that's what makes you a liberal.
Mm. And then their temper tantrum ends up getting millions of people killed.
Yeah, they have to drop the bomb. And then they make up, then they sit around their dresses making up lies saying that it saved millions of lives and took 5 years off the war when actually it didn't. You know what else I learned about World War II recently was the Enigma machine, the encoding machine that the Nazis had. The Americans cracked it. They got all the scientists and put guns to their head and made them do the math and figure out how to crack it. And they didn't use it right away. Like they knew certain cities were going to get bombed in England ahead of time and didn't tell the English because they didn't want them to tip their hand to the Nazis that they knew.
Oh, man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine your family gets incinerated in a bombing raid? And that's why.
And
they
someone
had to die.
Says, hey, man, support the troops, support the war effort. It was a strategy, it was a strategic choice made by smart, battlefield hardened. Trained generals. They know they know better than you what your family should be, dead or alive.
All right. Well, I guess we'll still do a tweak and review. All right.
And when I said support the troops in there sarcastically, I wasn't saying anything against people in the military. My son's in the military. And it's the generals, man. It's the generals that gather in their masses just like witches in black masses and plan the deaths of millions of people to line the coffers and help their libido dominandi. So, yeah. Go ahead.
It's more than that. It's the war profiteers. It's the Pentagon. It's the civilian leadership too, man. It's the people that want that war machine to keep ticking. And tragically, the fuel for that war machine is often well-meaning people who join up the army and end up getting betrayed because they think they're doing good and the generals throw them to the wolves. But that's a topic we can delve into a little bit more detail because it does require a little bit more context and detail. So I'll just rush through our tweak and review. Today we talked about the busybodies who never give up in Denver, even though recreational pot is now legal. City Council of Denver wants you in jail for making a smell. Yes, if they can smell pot, they want to be able to bust you down.
I think there should be a South Park where they where Denver outlaws farting. Didn't they already do that? I think they did.
Well, they did San Francisco. There was the smug epidemic where the San Franciscans were so smug and they were smelling their own flatulence.
Yeah.
So Yeah, man, it's ridiculous. And what it is, it's the tragedy of the commons. It's because all those public places, that what goes on in them is decided by politicians rather than being decided by people who have a legitimate property ownership of an area.
Yeah.
Next up, we talked about Barack Obama's war on journalism, Boo. Specifically Barrett Brown, who's now been in jail for more than 400 days for posting a link, basically for posting a link that hacktivism group Anonymous had gotten. And I think the lesson that we learn or can take from this is, yes, it is a war on journalism, but fight it smart. Barrett Brown made some untoward comments on his YouTube channel, and he should have just kept fighting the good fight without coming to verbal blows, because the government will use those against you. So judo it. Don't try to fight back directly like that and leave yourself open to a government counter.
Use your opponent's weight against itself.
Exactly. And we talked about a few other things, but go back, listen to the archive on freedomfiends.com. I think that's it for us. Thank you so much. This has been Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download our...
All right. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Thank you very much, Shane. Have a good day.
Yep. Thanks, we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. Yeah.